right, welcome here to Thirsty Thursday. Today we're going to be looking at the Gospel of Luke, the third chapter, verses 7 through 18, a text that we'll be looking at this weekend. And there's a whole lot going on in these verses, and I pray that your thirst is quenched a little bit by God's word, but that it drives you even to a deeper thirst to look further. That's the point of Thirsty Thursday, and so I'm glad you're here as we consider how God continues to speak words of life to us through the gospel. So John, the Baptist, is where we jumped off last time. We're going to continue to hear about John. But again, this is Luke chapter 3, verses 7 to 18. Here are the words. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hands to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. But Herod, the ruler who had been rebuked by him because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and because of all the evil things that Herod had done, added to them all by shutting up John in prison. And when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Yes, this is the gospel, and you notice in Luke, if you know the other gospel stories, it's a little bit out of order here that John gets arrested after giving all of this testimony by Herod, because he's holding Herod accountable to his actions, so he puts him in prison, which means then the baptism of Jesus happens, which then we don't really know who baptized Jesus in this Gospel of Luke, because if John's in prison, it couldn't have been him. It would have been someone from that community. But it ends with those words that we hear in baptism, "You're my Son, the Beloved, with you my well pleased." We say it this way: you're God's kid, God loves you, and God is proud of you. And it's so important in that part and ending right there, I'll start there and work backwards, is that Jesus is receiving this declaration. He's hearing this voice when Jesus really has not yet done anything. This is the beginning of his ministry. It's the sending out of him into the ministry in which he will lead. It's not that he's already been accomplishing these things. God's call, God's identity, God's name and claim upon you is totally separate from your action. God is doing that for Jesus, and God does that for us. And that's why it's such a joy to celebrate baptism into community, where we hear those promises, where we hear that affirmation, and we're set free to live that out. So a little more on John the Baptist, building on last week. John is calling people again out to that river for this do-over, or for this beginning again. The Hebrew people had crossed that Jordan River into the promised land to become the people that God had called them to be, to bless the world, and they had forgotten some of that. So John was calling them back into the water to be bathed into repentance And again, as you heard before, the Greek word for repent is metanoia, which literally means a changed or new mind. And so they have their minds reoriented here through John into being the people that God has called them to be. Who helps reorient you? What helps reorient you? Who are the John the Baptist in your life? Who are you living in community with that continue to point back to God's original hope or dream or intent for you? That's very important. John is doing that for this community. Now, John is telling them that the one who's going to come to baptize them is going to bathe them with the Holy Spirit and fire. When you think about being washed with water, as we heard earlier here, baptism with water represents washing away the old way of life, right? Kind of getting cleaned up. But when you talk about baptism with fire, that can represent more of this this clarion call of judgment or release. This stuff is clinging so tightly to you. We're going to burn it off. We're going to burn it up. We're going to literally take it away from you. You don't need this anymore. The piles of stuff that are holding you back or down. So the baptism with fire could represent judgment or the Holy Spirit or the renewal in that way. Baptism with water is really representing a washing away of the old way of life. Okay? So John is pointing to this. Well, then there's this imagery of the wheat and the chaff and these other things that he's going to burn up. What's this about? Well, this one's going to gather this wheat while burning the chaff with unquenchable fire, it says. Fire here is a good thing because it's destroying all that separates from God and one another. Right? Totally taking it away. So remember that the grain and the chaff are one stalk of wheat. They're together. The chaff is the outer covering that protects the grain. The chaff that Christ burns away is all the stuff with which we surround ourselves to protect ourselves from the pains of the world. How we insulate ourselves, separate ourselves out, hide from one another. The chaff promises to protect us, but ultimately it fails us and it becomes an obstacle in our relationship with God and one another. We need to get that stuff out of the way. Grain to grain, person to person, community to community, no separation, no division. God, take that, burn that off. And so then Jesus here arrives into the water, and he comes out of that water and he hears that voice. And Jesus here, I think, representing this new declaration, this declaration of heaven that applies to all, that God loves us and is in a relationship with us. But going back to John, here he is now in prison for speaking truth or for speaking life, right? Herod doesn't want to hear truth or life. Herod wants to hold on to the power. Herod wants to surround himself with chaff, insulate himself. He's not open whatsoever. And I think some of the instrumental teaching here in Luke, and the Gospel of Luke is my favorite, but when you go to these verses here, verse 10 to 14, he's doing some very basic teaching of what blessing means. Okay, and I think he's cutting through the chaff of our world, the fear, the scarcity, the worry, those kinds of things. And he's pointing to how human beings are called to be unified, to celebrate life together, to share in resource. But it's easy when you're competing, right, in competing claims in the world to separate out. But here's some very basic teaching. He says, when the crowds ask, what should we do? You know, what should we do with this repentance and this blessing? God has created us to bless. What are we supposed to do? And he makes it like just spot on good language to understand. He said, whoever has two coats, share with anyone who has none. Well, this is simple. I know I have more than one coat in my closet, right? And if there's somebody with none, I can do something with that. And whoever has food, do likewise. If there's somebody who's hungry, you simply feed them. This isn't a question of worthiness, of what they did or did not do last week, all of that kind of stuff that the world piles onto people to make them feel shame and unworthiness. It's just simply, if you're hungry, you give somebody some food to eat. And then he went on to say, even tax collectors are being baptized here. And they ask him, teacher, what should we do? They're recognizing that in this water, they're emerging as a new human being. God's washing them clean from the old way, freeing them for a new way. So what should they do? And he says, collect no more than the amount prescribed for you.
Wow.
Talk about an end to corruption, right? An end to greed. Don't take any more than you're supposed to. You know, don't rob people. Don't take advantage of people. Don't hold power over people in this way, like you might maybe have been tempted to do. Taking another private share for yourself to bless you. Now remember, even in your work as tax collector, it's a job you need to do, yes, but you are to bless and you're to be a blessing in that place. And then the soldiers asked him, right? People of war, people who are keeping the peace, people who have battles that they need to face. And he's saying really plain language to them when they ask, what should we do? He says, don't take money from anyone by threats or false accusation. Don't hold that power. Don't brutalize people. Don't make people fearful for their lives. Don't go into a village or town and take what is not yours, right? Already pointing to what we'd say a just war theory, right? There's a better way to do this. Do no harm. Do not cause more injury. And we know there's a cost, but are you going to heap cost upon cost upon cost upon the vulnerable, which they would be tempted to do because of the challenge that they were facing? So holding people in this story, you have a role, you have a job, you have an identity, you have a purpose, but there's something bigger going on. God's purpose, God's intent, God's hope and dream for your life. And so in baptism, we're going to wash you and free you for a new way of life. And in this baptism of repentance with the fire and the Holy Spirit, we're going to burn off the things that get in the way of really providing blessing and nurture or care to the world. And I think all of us can speak that, church. I think all of us can speak a word of life into our world in that way. We in the church do it through talking about generosity, sharing the hurts and hopes of people a world over. The kinds of quiet generosity where people pour out their life. No real recognition. No, hey, put my name in lights. No, I just want to give because I'm created to give. I'm created to bless. So if God creates us to be blessing to the world, then how we orient our lives toward one another and toward the world to be blessing is of ultimate importance. And through that, we're called to repent of the selfish things that get in the way and to rethink how we can use our gifts and abilities to reveal God's kingdom to the world so that we have a love language around which to even talk about God's kingdom in the world. And of course, it's so important that every human being knows that they are loved and that they're valued. And God does that first. God always takes the first step toward us saying, I love you and I'm proud of you. Even when we don't feel it, even when the world has maybe helped us to forget that, the amnesia that we ourselves have in our own shame or just difficulty. But yes, we need that word spoken. That you're God's kid, God loves you, God's proud of you. And so go bless. And the more you know that identity and the more that you live in blessing, the more life there is to you, to the community, and to the world. So we have a proclamation, like John the Baptist, to make, maybe not starting out again, like I said before, name calling. It's not where I choose to start when he says, you brood of vipers, but he was getting their attention. It's time for a new thing that God's going to do. It's time for a new day to live into faith. And I think as we rise up in the morning, remembering our baptism and who we are and whose we are, that we're set out to live that. And I know we can get to an intersection and choose not to do that. But God would say at every intersection, continue to choose life, choose love, choose hope. And that gift will be yours too. That gift will be yours. So think about this week, things that you maybe need to repent of, but also the blessings that God has poured into your life. And how is it that you will live that out with all that you are and all that you seek to do? All right. Remember that you are loved by God. Thank you for being here. Stay thirsty, my friends.